The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our look at the player cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. This is part 4 of our look at the Mystic cards in the box. On this episode, we are going to discuss Time Warp, Ward of Protection level 2, Arcane Initiate level 3, Scrying level 3, and Seal of the Elder Sign level 5. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Before we get started, a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or cards that are good in one particular deck get a Bless token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the list of taboos or are simply bad for the big game get a Curse token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. You all rock. If you'd like to be amazing like these people and support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Special thanks to Coleman Rochitti, Nicole Fiscus, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for their contributions to the channel. I couldn't do it without you. Without further ado, let's get started. Welcome back to the channel, everyone. We're going to wrap up our look at the Mystic cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. We had a bit of a rough ride in the previous episode where we had a few cards that weren't up to the level of the previous batch. We'll see if this final group is much better. We're going to start off with Time Warp. It is a one-cost event with 2 XP, spell and paradox trait fast. Play immediately after an investigator at your location finishes resolving an action during his or her turn. Undo that action. Return the game state to exactly the way it was before that action was performed, including that action's cost. It's never a good sign when the designers preemptively FAQ a card.
And it's like a page long.
And it's a page long. This card, I think I put it in one deck, and I've never been tempted to play it since, simply because I really just don't want the hassle of looking up the FAQ on how this works.
I'm gonna make your life easier for you, Man from Lang. You know, call it a Christmas miracle. Because here so the thing about Time Warp is this is the, you know what, I think this is the perfect example of a utility card that no one can ever find room for in their decks. Because that's what it really is. It's actually a catch-all utility card. If you squint hard enough, that's a phrase I haven't used in a while.
We haven't squinted hard in a long time.
Yeah, get ready, guys. We're going to squint hard. Because if you squint really hard and you look at that white space down there, it contains a quote from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Because that's what happens when you play it, is you know that you and your friends are going to start singing the Time Warp song. You know, let's do the Time Warp again. But other than that, there's nothing else that happens when you squint really hard. You read between the lines. What it really says is redraw a token. Think of it like that. To say, you spend one, you let someone at your location redraw a chaos token. Because that right there is like 99% of the reasons why you would want to play this. Someone drew an auto fail. Let's not redraw the auto fail. Let's try that again, mm-hmm. You know, and see what happens. And, mm-hmm. You know, like, considering things like Eucatastrophe in the core set at like 3 XP, like, you know, that's not too bad, right? You know, just like, you know, redraw a tentacle. And remember what I said last episode, how do you get better at Arkham? You just draw fewer tentacles. Well, this is how you do it. You just retcon them. Mm-hmm. This is the retcon card. Yeah, it does some other neat things, like it helps you, it saves you from your recharge blowing up your spell. You know, it's stuff like that. You know, it's nice. You know, it's not bad. Oh my god, it doesn't remove itself from the game.
Nope.
There's got to be something hilarious you can do with that, where you do the Time Warp again and again and again. But no, mm-hmm. Other than that, yeah, it's like I'd run this over like Quantum Flex like all the time, right? You know, it's like just redraw a token.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. To me, this has the, if you're familiar at all with Magic, it has the Scheherazade problem, which is it just opens up Pandora's box of rules, which is like, what is undoing an action?
Yeah.
Like, what does that really mean?
Yeah.
And like, to me, like, yeah, that's kind of cool, but like, honestly, let's be honest with ourselves. We've all done this for real without actually playing the card. We've all gone, ah, crap, I didn't mean to do that. We've all done it. Don't lie to yourselves. You're all a bunch of cheaters. You're all a bunch of cheaters.
Yep, we have all done it. I mean, have you ever been like, you realize that, man, I actually, this was a dumb action. I really shouldn't have done this. I'm going to roll this back after the tentacle was in your hand. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm sure, we've, you know, it just so happened. Yeah, yeah, we've all been there. We've all done it. You know,
yeah, you're like, oh, I'm going to move here and do this. And you're like, oh, wait, I couldn't move here and do that. Yeah, yeah, I needed to do this first.
I needed to do this instead. Yeah, this is what Time Warp lets you, this is what Time Warp does.
It just makes it legal.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, it's because
I think
your
the
game.
Phrase I use is like, well, in hindsight, I would have done this.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah, it's what this is like, this card's existence means that you can ignore its existence and just do the thing anyway, mm-hmm. because the game clearly wants you to be able to retcon stuff. So just do it. Yeah, just retcon things.
Because, like, every game of Arkham really has an asterisk attached next to it anyway, right? Like,
it's
I forgot about this one rule, or, crap, I forgot that locked door was on this location, or, you know, just stupid.
You
like
know,
that.
And I gotta say, everyone forgets the VIP lounge in House Always Wins. Everyone forgets the VIP lounge. You know, so every game of Arkham has, like, an asterisk next to it. It's simply because you have, like, a zillion cards with, like, rules on different places. Now, it's not as extreme as some other games that I've played, but, you know, it's still, there's asterisks there. But you know what? If you look at Time Warp instead as redraw a token, it's much simpler. And then you can evaluate it as a 2XP redraw a token card. It's a 2XP Wendy. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And or you can use it to do hilarious stuff. Yeah. And sing the song.
Yeah, like, I would assume really the use of a card like this is, like, you've done your double or nothing turn, and then that completely blows up in your face, and you're like, whoa, 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 hold on. And then you redo it, and then you, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, redraw a token. I mean, there's some, like, interesting, I mean, there's some interesting use cases, like, if you last action draw and you get a weakness, you go, oh, let's just put that aside, you know, like, you get to retcon. You know, it's got some extra uses like that, but 99% of the time, it's you redraw the autofail. Yeah. And, you know, like, considering, Nate, that you have a real autofail problem, maybe this is the type of card that you need to start packing.
Mm.
Just ignore autofails.
Yeah,
given that it is you would just draw the autofail again, but at least you're gonna try to attack your weakness. That, you know,
yeah,
autofails.
See, the way that I've come to solve that problem is just stop taking skill tests.
Yeah, that works too. Yeah, just don't take skill tests. Yeah, that works. Yeah.
I mean, I could also see. I think you make a very good point, Matastrophic, that if you consider this card as just pay a resource, redraw a token.
Yeah.
You don't have to consult the FAQ, and it's all good. I think you could also play this card in situations where you're on a map, you move to a location, it's one of those locations where you have to take a skill test for some crazy reason.
Yeah.
And it's not the location you wanted to be at, and now you're like, ah, crap, I gotta take this terrible skill test. Oh, and I failed the skill test now, and now I'm not only am I not in the place I want to be at, but I've blown a skill test. This gets you out of that very simply. It's just like, okay, no, that didn't happen. Go back to the location. Now you have the knowledge that that location is not the location you want, and you can move on. Like, I'm thinking something like the secret name, right? Where you've got a bunch of those locations on the table, you're looking for one in particular, you end up in the bad one, you're like, nah, retcon this and go back and try it again. So yeah, I mean I can definitely see reasons that you would want to play this card, as long as you try to keep it simple and not overly complicated. Like, maybe I think this card might have gotten a bad reputation right off the bat, just because they did sort of preemptively, we're like, well, we know this one's going to cause a lot of problems, so we're going to try to explain it ahead of time. And I think people saw that and they were just like, nope, not going to bother. So
I do think, and I, for some reason, this is like entering my memory, that Maxine once said in an interview that she designed Time Warp to be just kind of crazy. You know, it's just whimsical design anyway. So yeah, it's fine. You know, as long as just don't take it too seriously, and you're probably okay. I mean, I'm already thinking of like interesting use cases of it. You know, where like, let's say you play Draw to the Flame, and the encounter card you draw is like absolutely terrible. You know, boop, Time Warp it. Yeah. Oh, there's got to be a slogan we got to invent for it. Like, you know, something like kind of like Sillet Bang. You know, Bang in the Dirt is Gone. You know, we need like a symbol to be like, just put a Time Warp on it. You know, and then you solved all your problems. Yeah. So,
I mean, an interesting note about this card is that it says an investigator at your location resolving an action during their turn. So you can't use it in like Mythos phase and stuff like that.
True. But you know, that's, if you want to just house rule it to be just redraw any token, fine, you know. But yeah, I get it. It has to be like a proactive thing, you know, as written. But it happens. The time you like completely blow the Storm of Spirits, just redraw it.
So how would we rate this one? All hyperbole aside, that it's, you know, overly complicated.
Well, there's one thing we haven't mentioned, which is using it to grief people, which is I succeeded, and you go, nope, sorry, sucker.
Man, no, that wasn't damaging enough.
That is Elder Sign material right there. If you do that, that's fucking hilarious.
And you get to sing the song.
Yeah. You're like, no, dude. Actually, redraw that. And then if they fail, that's hilarious. That's Elder Sign material. That's so fucking funny.
Now, can't you build a Safina deck with this and use the...
Undo. Yeah, painted world.
Use the painted world on this thing to just cause all sorts of havoc.
Now that's hilarious. I'm doing that now. Next multiplayer game, I'm doing that. I'm just going to
Beast won't know what hit him. He'll be just like, Mateo, I draw an Elder Sign. No, you don't.
I'm like, yeah, no.
I'll back you up. I'll play like a really complicated Lola deck. We can do it just to confuse Vase. We're like, I play the Lola and I start an action, I do this incredibly elaborate chain of fast actions, and then I just tie myself in knots, and then you time warp me, and I go, thanks, bro! And then I like, rewind it all. This is all just a confound Vase. Let's do it.
Oh my god, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so if you want to build that Safina deck, because I know there's a whole bunch of cards in Safina that can just cause absolute havoc at the table. And
does that make it a bless?
This is one of them. You could certainly throw this in there and just annoy people to no end. But so what's your rating? What's your rating, Nate?
Oh, I'm giving it an Elder Sign now because it's hilarious. That is the only deck I am playing now. And for any 4-player game, do not play with me. Because I will be if I am playing any investigator that has Mystic, you're going to see this card in my deck now.
Do some time warps. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll put it in Lola even. Yeah, I think I'd give it a 0 because it does suffer from the fact that it is a utility card, and utility cards notoriously you have a hard time really inserting them into a deck. But honestly, if I look at it as you spend one and you let someone redraw a token, like that kind of bails you out of a lot of stuff. It's kind of like an almost ultimate utility card in that regard. So I'm gonna give this a 0, you know, given that, you know, negative because it's a utility, positive because it's good utility. So yeah, we'll just go with that.
Man, I'm tempted to join Nate at Elder Sign now. I'm just imagining cause that because Safina can play that. What's that card that lets you double events and
double time warp? What happens? Do you warp the warp?
Yeah, do you undo the undo?
But think about you, like all the laughter that's a table. And not only that, but you have to undo, like it says, undo that action, return the game state to exactly the way that it was before. Does that mean you get to, like, if someone takes a beer, like drinks a beer, like during their action, do they have to like vomit it back up legally?
No, it's the game state. It's not the game state. Else.
Isn't the beer a part of the game though? See, you get to have those philosophical discussions. But what is a game? What is
the game state? Yeah.
What is a game state? What is a state? Yep. See, you know, you get to have those philosophical discussions, and that alone like makes this card worth it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to split the difference. I'll go +1 because I can definitely like okay, I agree with Metastrophic that it is a utility card that costs 2 XP. It's going to be hard to fit this in a lot of the time. But I can definitely see the way that this can bail you out of issues, even if you're just using it to redraw a token that maybe changed the game, like things were going smoothly, you were trucking along, no problems, you suddenly draw that one tentacle, the game turns on a dime, and all of a sudden you're on the back foot. You play this, and suddenly you're back to square one, and
yeah,
you get a way out, mm-hmm. or you're searching for that hidden location, and you've got a couple different choices, and you don't know which one to pick. You get to peek at one, basically. It's like, hey, just mm-hmm. look at a location. See if it's the one you want. You don't even have to do the rest of it, you know, to be honest. It's just like, flip over the location. Is it the one you want? No? Okay, I just time warp. I just go back. I'm not going to take the skill test. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm just going to peek at a location.
Mm-hmm.
So it has sorts of, like, lots of little utility things you can do with it. And I'm sure there's more that you can think of. But I definitely agree with Nate that it's an elder sign for the sheer audacity of creating a card that is just creating a card that came with an FAQ baked into it. And the fact that Maxine just went for it and was just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm just going to create this card that will prompt endless debate and go from there. So
no.
We'll say plus one, but yeah. If you're playing a grief deck and you want to cause trouble,
yeah,
elder sign all the way. But yeah, it's a crazy card. I don't think I've put it in decks, and just I think I've been intimidated by the FAQ. But perhaps Metastrophics,
yeah, I think simpler
has focused. Condensed the text and the FAQ to a manageable. Manageable state that I will now consider playing it in.
You're all thinking in the wrong direction.
No, I'm thinking like you, Nate. I've already figured it out. Here's what I'm gonna do with it. I'm gonna play with you. We're gonna make this happen, and I'm gonna come up with some. Like I said, I'm gonna come up with some crazy like Lola chain of events, and then I'm gonna rewind it all. Yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Yeah, in Vase's action, I'm gonna like look at the top five cards in the encounter deck, and I'm gonna like restack it, and then I'm gonna move around, and I'm gonna like reveal locations, and I'm gonna swap roles as Lola, and I'm gonna swap roles again somehow, and then I'm gonna like see half my deck, and then I'm gonna rewind it all back.
You know what I'd love to do is like
if
an investigator has the ability to like pass a test and resign, I would love to just be like, yeah, no, actually do it again, and then they fail and they get stuck and they die.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You just see your mystic just close the door as they leave, and you're like, ha, sucker.
So Metastrophic, yes. as the Lola player here, could you use this card to say you do an action, you swap roles mid-action, then realize you swap to the wrong role when you draw a card and it blows up your board?
Yeah, as long as all that took place during your action,
yeah,
which you could totally do as Lola, right?
It's just like, oh, I switched to Guardian. Oh no, that was a bad mistake.
That was a bad idea. Let me improvisation over. Yeah, mid action improvisation over to over to Mystic. Play the time warp. Rewind the thing. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you could totally do that. This all your mistakes. You just any mistake you make, you just rewind it. Yeah.
And, you know, to be honest, I think we've all done it at some point without playing the card. So,
yeah.
There you go. Now it's legal.
Yeah. Perfect.
The next card is one of the best cards, made one of the best cards in the game even better, to be honest. This is Ward of Protection, level 2. One cost event, 2 XP, one wild skill icon, spell and spirit trait, fast play when an investigator at any location draws a non-weakness treachery card. Cancel that card's revelation effect, then take one horror. If you're playing in multiplayer and there's a mystic at the table, this is one of the first things they're going to buy.
Yep.
I have played this to great effect in multiplayer. I believe I even... Who's that... Diana. Yep. I stacked this on Diana and just canceled everything.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. Amazing Elder Sign.
Yeah. There's not much to say about this card. Just Elder Sign.
Any location. In fact, one could argue that, like, the peril keyword was actually invented because of this card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's reasonable, yeah.
And that's why I'm actually going to say, like, I think this is actually a curse token.
Ooh.
Because I think it's because it's like, by its nature, it's had to swing the design of treacheries. I think the real evidence I bring to this is what happened in the Lord of the Rings card game. So in the Lord of the Rings card game, they had a Test of Will, which you could run three of. And it literally caused the designers to have to, like, change their treachery design because that card was so ubiquitous. They kind of did a poor job of it, and they've learned since. So, because, like, they literally would have cards such as, like, Sleeping Sentry, like, one of the most famous treacheries in that game ever, where it's like, if you didn't cancel it, you just lost the game. That was their response, was like, oh, we know all of you are running three copies of, you know, treachery cancellation, so let's put in some treacheries that you have to cancel, you know, or you lose the game. That was kind of, like, the bad way to do it. But I think the problem is like, with Ward of Protection level 2, is they kind of included the same effect. Yeah, they've had to respond to it more gently than Lord of the Rings, but they've had to, like, actually respond to it by, like, inventing the peril keyword. And, you know, we have said that curses are for things that kind of, like, affect the game and are kind of bad for the game. And I gotta be honest, like, as much as, like, this is, like, such a mystic thing, you help your friends out, you cancel nasty treacheries, but I really think this is, like, it does a number on treachery design, and I actually would say it's a curse.
Yeah, I could see that. I think especially when you compare this to the level 4 version.
Oh, God, like, yeah.
Why does that version even exist if the level 2 version is what it
exactly.
is?
Exactly. Yeah.
And, yeah, I can see it, too, because it's so damn splashable.
Yeah.
And so many other non, like, off-class mystics. Like, yeah. Daisy can take this, and it's like, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I see why they made it level 2, because it's the Safina set, and it's an event.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I see why. It makes sense, you know, at a level 2. I think if we had a different world and they were doing Arkham Horror, like, second edition or whatever, I would strongly argue that Ward of Protection is, like, not in the game at all. That treacheries need to, like, stand on their own and, like, you know, not, like, play the roulette of who has the cancel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem becomes once you can either loop it multiple times or you have 8 of them at your table because everyone is playing them.
Or the card pool gets big enough that there's more cancellation of inevitably enters the card pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then so then one person stacks, instead of 2 wards of protection, they have 4, and then they have 6, you know, 6 of those effects because the card pool is just getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where it kind of combos with itself.
Yep.
You know, by providing that layer of protection.
Yeah, because you are, like, in essence, you are trivializing a third of the game, in essence, right?
True.
It's like one third of the game is the encounter deck, the other is the map, and then the third is you, the players.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Fun discussion. But still, incredible card. Like, if you're a Mystic, like, you want to be a team player, you play this, everyone's going to love you. Yeah, like, it's really great. I just think it's the encounter card cancellation, treachery cancellation goes a little too far on the design of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think when the game was created, there was Ward of Protection was it, basically. Yeah. Like, Mystics had the one cancellation card. Then Seekers got Forewarned. Then Survivors got a Test of Will. And it just sort of spiraled out from there. And then, of course, Mystics get... It's like, well, Mystics have to be better than everybody else, so they get this that can cancel everything. And then they get Diana, which you can stack this on, and then use this multiple times per game.
And we have Gloria coming, by the way.
And then when they've done all that, they're like, okay, let's print down the rabbit hole. So now you can pay 1 XP for this. And
this is before you get into Gloria, who hasn't been released officially yet. Has only been released in novel form. Who can, like, totally run the encounter deck. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is I can definitely see this being curse worthy. And it's just, there's really nothing you can say about it. It cancels anything. So you can save anybody at the table anywhere. All for 1 horror, even. I'm surprised, actually, they didn't maybe boost that up a little bit, considering.
Mm-hmm. Even, like, to a direct horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do get to off your Renfeld this way, which is very handy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The next card is Arcane Initiate Level 3. This is a free asset. Willpower and combat skill icon, ally and sorcerer trait forced. After Arcane Initiate enters play, place one Doom or two Horror on it. So you do get the choice this time, rather than just adding a Doom. As a free triggered ability, exhaust Arcane Initiate, search the top three cards of your deck for a spell card and draw it, shuffle your deck. Has three sanity and one health and takes up an ally slot. So the biggest difference here is that she's free and you can avoid the Doom should you wish. And she has extra health, but that's sort of assuming you're avoiding the Doom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I think initially when this card was released, I wasn't that crazy about it because I never considered the Doom from the level 0 Arcane Initiate to be much of a problem. So I never really saw the point of upgrading. I think it's just gotten, now that Down the Rabbit Hole exists, it's just like, well, sure, I'll just upgrade this Arcane Initiate too, because why not? But I never really saw the point of this, but I think I have upgraded it, but then that was only because I had Down the Rabbit Hole, so... What do you guys think?
Yeah, this is a totally luxury upgrade. It's not necessary in the slightest. Like,
yeah,
one versus zero resources is basically nothing in this game.
It's like one XP worth max.
It's like maybe an upkeep. You know, like, yeah. Oh, I'll wait till next upkeep to play. It's like, okay, whatever.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, to me, I've felt the same way, man, from, like, I've never felt the need to upgrade this card, and I probably never will, because I don't like Down the Rabbit Hole.
Yeah, I don't either. Yeah, it's kind of expensive for, I think the reason why it's so expensive is, because like, I think a lot of players, and I think also, to an extent, the designers, like, really overvalued, you know, Doom. I think they were, like, it kind of plays on you being, like, deathly scared of putting Doom on your own cards. Mm-hmm. But once you learn how to play around your own Arcane Initiate level 0, then you don't need the upgrade because you've already learned how to deal with your own Arcane Initiate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe if there was some sort of like, maybe if there was some sort of deck that like wanted to have horror on things, I could see this working, but I don't think that deck exists. Yeah.
I mean, kind of Carolyn to some extent.
Yeah, so but Carolyn can't play this.
Right.
Yeah, but she can't play this. So. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think if the Doom thresholds on agendas were tighter, but really it's one Doom out of how many, like if you've got multiple agendas, you've got, you know, a lot of Doom to work with, and one is not going to make or break you most of the time. Like you're going to run into the odd game where things don't go great and it takes a little longer than you thought, but I think I can count on one hand how many times the game has come down to like the final turn where this might have made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. Also, one thing to note is the card's benefit. Look at the top three cards of your deck for a spell and draw it. That does not change from level 0 to level 3. If it even like let you look at the top 4 or the top 5, I could see an argument for it being 3 XP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like, the upside doesn't get any higher. It's just mitigating the downside. You know?
Yeah, and I guess adding extra sanity to it doesn't really affect Mystics either, because they've already gotten 8s and 9s most of the time anyway.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, 1 is as good as 3. Really.
Yeah, for Mystics who have a zillion. Yeah.
Okay. Ratings?
Eh, I'd give it an Elder thing. I just don't think it's really worth the upgrade.
Eh, I'm going to go Tentacle. Just play better, you know. If you're playing a deck that was using Arcane Initiate, you probably already have figured out how to deal with the Doom. So once you've built your Arcane Initiate deck, you don't need the upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think like that's assuming the Doom is even a problem to begin with.
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm gonna give this one a Tentacle too. Having played around an Arcane Initiate for years at this point, this just is unnecessary. And really, if you are buying it with Down the Rabbit Hole, you're already winning.
Right. Like, you've right, already, exactly. you've yeah, already true, trounced yeah. the game at that point because you've blown yeah. the XP curve so out of whack. Like,
yeah.
the Agnes deck I built that was playing down the rabbit hole basically was fully upgraded for like 15 XP or something like that. And I had like yeah. 30 like... plus XP worth of cards in there. And I was just upgrading my Arcane Initiate just because I could. Like, it wasn't.
And because you ran out of other things.
Yeah, like I just ran out yeah. of stuff to upgrade. So, yeah, it's. I think this is a card that just solves a problem that doesn't really exist. And.
Yep.
You don't need to play cards that solve problems that don't exist. So. Mm-hmm. My rating would definitely change if the search changed. In fact, if they got rid of the whole forced effect and had just changed the search, it would be a better card.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, tack on a couple of XP and say you get search top 5 instead of top 3. That might yeah. be better. I mean, that might be yeah, actually
that'd be pretty
tempting,
good, actually.
Tempting to upgrade to because... You know, you do have those games where you get your Arcane Initiate down turn one, search.
Whiff. Yep.
And then it's like, ah, well, now I'm delayed where it might have been 4 or 5 that was the card you needed. So, but as it stands, this one is wholly unnecessary. So spend your XP elsewhere. The next card is Scrying. This is the level 3 version of Scrying from the core set. 1 cost asset, 2 intellect skill icon spell, uses 3 charges, as a free triggered ability, exhaust scrying and spend 1 charge. Look at the top 3 cards of any investigator's deck or the encounter deck, return them to the top of that deck in any order. If a terror or omen card is among the looked at cards, take 1 horror, takes up an arcane slot. Thoughts on the level 3 version of scrying?
I don't know. I've never played this card.
Yeah, I think it's another one of those utilities that, like, you never seem to have room for. But I think, like, especially in 1 and 2 player, I think this thing is, like, deceptively strong. Heck, even 3 player, because you get to decide who gets what.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this card is, like, a lot stronger than we think it is, because you're stacking the encounter deck.
Yeah, and... if you're basically shoving an enemy further and further down the encounter deck... Yeah. That's pretty damn good. I think in 2-player, this card in particular is really good. I think once
because there's a whole card that you don't have to draw at all. Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, and if you have any way to, then this combos really well with any way you have of shuffling the encounter deck, like,
mm-hmm.
like stargazing. I think is one that shuffles the encounter deck.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
There's a couple other cards too. Yeah.
Yeah. On the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if you can, like, bury the nasty things and then shuffle it when shuffle it from time to time. And then mm-hmm. I'm thinking in solo, like, you don't only have to activate this, like, once every 3 turns, and that could cover you for, like, most of the game, you know, in solo.
Yeah,
you could
activate it, like, every other turn, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have to use it every turn. Yeah, I think this thing is, like, deceptively strong, but it, like, suffers from it's a utility card, and thus it's hard to find room for it. Yeah, I think... It's appropriately priced, to be honest. You know, for it, it's a fast action. You could do this 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you add charges to it, this actually pays off if you add charges. I gotta be honest. Because a 3 XP reload is kind of a lot. Yeah,
this card fixes the primary problem with the level 0 version, which was the level 0 version cost an action. This one does not. But in exchange for being a free triggered ability... You do have the chance of suffering a horror. Terror and omens are fairly common in a lot of encounter decks. So, but you're playing a mystic, so you can probably deal with it. I think this card is really going to come into its own in Gloria.
Oh, well, Gloria's a special case.
When
she
comes out,
cards like this.
I'm sure this card will be an automatic upgrade for her.
Yeah.
And she's just going to have a stranglehold on the encounter deck, which is kind of frightening, I think.
I've seen it in action. It's
kind it of is annoying. Frightening, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
So we shall see what when Gloria is officially released. And because I think actually her novella was actually out of print fairly quickly. It's the one I don't have. And I have
Dark
all of
Revelations.
Them. And it was hard to find, and Maybe it just sold out really quickly, but so Gloria is the one of those Mystic Investigators I haven't had a chance to play, but I did play her once on the channel, and it was basically like she just grabs the encounter deck by the balls and just squeezes for all she's worth. And
yeah,
mm-hmm.
If you're being hurt by the encounter deck at that point, I'm not sure how, because she just nerfs it. She might be a curse-worthy investigator just for that alone.
I would agree with that, actually. Because because what actually stops her is Axe advancing that shuffle the discard pile into the encounter deck. Yeah, if you have enough of those, then that's the one thing that actually like attacks her, is shuffling the encounter deck, you know?
Right.
When you, yeah.
So how would we rate this one?
This is a solid bless card. Like, you have to plan on doing this.
Okay.
Because if you're just kind of randomly looking at three cards every once in a while in a four-player game, that's not going to do much.
It's true. Yeah.
But if you're playing, like, a two-player game where one player is perhaps, like, okay with dealing with the enemies they've got, like, on the hunt and stuff like that, and they're ready to grab enemies out of the deck, and then you, as the other Mystic player, you sit there and manipulate all the treacheries they don't want to see. Yeah. And that becomes really, really strong.
Yeah, I'd agree. In fact, I'm already thinking, like, because if you can combo this thing with other encounter card denial, like, Word of Protection level 0, for example, if you can guarantee that you're going to draw the nasty, you can guarantee that you're going to draw the Ancient Evils or the other nasty treachery, and when you've got the cancellation in hand, you could, like, you know, rig the encounter deck. Remember, the encounter deck is how the game attacks you, right?
Yes.
You rig that, you really nerf the game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So because... I think I'll give this as bless as well, because I think it really comes into its own when you have like a team that can like work with it. Like I was saying, if you know that three nasty cards are coming up on the hunt, you know, in order to just give it a shuffle, you know, that type of stuff. Yeah.
And I think this is one of those cards that becomes much better after you've already played the campaign and you know exactly what you need to be considerate of.
Yeah.
Because if you're just kind of randomly like, oh, maybe this is bad, but maybe it's not, it's like, yeah, you'll see okay results with doing something like that. But if you know exactly what to target in a scenario with your team,
yeah,
you trivialize the scenario in large parts because, like Matt said, you know, that's how the game is attacking you. Yeah. And if you're not spending your time and resources dealing with the encounter deck, then you're progressing the scenario forward. So,
Man from Lang, imagine beyond the, you know, before the Black Throne, guaranteed no mindless answers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've built decks that do that for that particular scenario to try to keep the mindless answers off the table. And it makes the game much, much easier if you don't have to worry about those. Yeah, I really have mixed feelings about cards like this, because while it's not a card that I play very often, because I just tend to play the game the ordinary way. If you build around something like this and the designers make a mistake and create too many cards that let you manipulate the encounter deck, you quickly reach a tipping point where the encounter deck ceases to matter, at which point, why are you bothering to play the game? Now, hopefully they have learned from the Lord of the Rings LCG, where a deck designer named C-Stan basically created decks that removed the entire encounter deck from the game, thus eliminating all of the challenge. But he is a deck designer of, I think he's probably the premier deck designer in that game, and pushed that game in ways that I'm sure the designers were unprepared for. So hopefully they've learned from that, and they know that we need to be very careful with these types of cards, because you can already play two copies of this. So that's six turns you're manipulating the encounter deck.
And that's not even including like Order Protection and all those other cards that do similar things.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings is actually a really great, actually a really good reference to make here, because what Lord of the Rings had, they had a few decks where essentially it's like you're walking that tightrope. It was called, I think, in Lord of the Rings, you had like secrecy, you had lore and spirit, and you were able to like deal with the encounter deck, right? Like look at it, cancel stuff from it, remove things from it, otherwise manipulate it. You were walking a tightrope. If you walk the tightrope, you trivialize the game. If you fall off, you're in big trouble. And I think that's a fun experience solo. I think if you're multiplaying it, you're like you're basically saying you're basically turning multiplayer into a solo affair by walking that tightrope and controlling the encounter deck for everyone. That's why I would almost argue that Gloria should be true solo only. Yeah. Because then it's actually like an interesting and it's actually an interesting and worthy experience and like a puzzle to solve. Like how do you walk that tightrope knowing that you could fall off at any time, you know, and stay there. But like when you have a but then you're playing solitaire. Yeah. But yeah, too much encounter deck manipulation can actually wreck the game. That being said, this card is deceptively strong, and I think it's fun to play
Yeah,
with.
I think I'll agree with the bless because if you're, I did, like you guys said, you're probably just not adding this to a deck on a whim. You have a plan, and this is part of a bigger plan, whether you're playing solo or multiplayer. I have built these kind of decks in solo, and they can trivialize the game just as easily. I believe I built one out of Norman.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
And
Yeah.
when you're when you get to pick and choose what you draw from the encounter deck, it you know at that point you just need to get clues. You know, it's like, can I get clues? Because I know what I'm going to draw and when I'm going to draw it and what I need to do to deal with it. So
Exactly.
yeah, this is a bless. Could possibly even end up in curse territory if
I'd say the whole package
the
ends up in cursed
package,
territory.
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it would just depend which part of that package is the most objectionable. That one would probably get the curse token. But yeah, it's something they're going to have to watch out with because I haven't built that deck in a while, and I think I just played the Gloria the one time and. But we haven't seen what her real cards will do. We've only seen what her
Oh.
replacements will do. So if her real signatures are pushed too far, she could definitely tip things over. And suddenly it's like,
Oh.
well, somebody brought the Gloria deck. Well, I guess we're just gonna
Yeah. Well,
watch
not
out
only
for
that, but
something. Be a
also.
lot of the Mandy deck, the old like Necronomicon Mandy deck
Oh,
that
yeah.
basically trivialized the game. It feels like we could get to a point where it's kind of like that, where basically one investigator shows up and just completely trivializes the game and makes it unfun for everyone else.
Yeah, I gotcha. Because no one else thinks that, like, it's like no one else faces any opposition. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The final card we are going to talk about, and the I guess the capstone for the Mystic class in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion is Seal of the Elder Sign. It is a skill that costs a whopping 5 XP. It has a wild skill icon. The spell and expert trait do not reveal chaos tokens from the chaos bag for this test. Treat the chaos token revealed for this test as an elder sign. When this test ends, remove Seal of the Elder Sign from the game. I have never played this card because I don't think as a solo player I've ever had the 5 to 10 XP
Oh, yeah.
to purchase this thing. Drawing one Elder Sign in a game, am I willing to spend 5 XP for that? No, to be honest.
I am.
I know Mateo likes them, but
Yeah, I was gonna say the other investigator that I got a lot of mileage out of this, and I remember publishing my deck about this was Diana. Because yeah, because Diana's Elder Sign brings a cancel back. Yeah, so it's
Right.
like not only do you auto pass a test from 3 under, by the way, don't forget this thing, you get the boost that your Elder Sign gives you. You auto pass a test from 3 under, kind of like a cancel. Then you get another cancel back, you know, from your stockpile, cancel something else. It's like, It's a lot of momentum there. Yeah. No, I kind of like this thing. You know, I kind of like this because it feels like this is the type of stuff that like Word of Protection kind of should do. Is like you just problem comes up, blap. You know, you spend all your XP and you just like do something awesome and you like deal with it and then you move on. Yeah. So I like this one. Like, because, you know, every game there's like a test that like is, you know, must pass. Every game you're going to have that. So every game this is going to be awesome. Yeah.
Mm.
But then again, it takes up the same slot as Time Warp. So
that's true. It's true.
Yep. That's some stiff competition. Yeah.
It's spell traded too. So, you know, the whole Arcane Initiate thing is sweet with this card.
Oh, then you could run one of it, knowing that you just find it with the Arcane Initiate, and you save it for, like, this is the test. Yeah.
It gets a lot more stock in multiplayer when you can use it on any test, essentially.
Any test, that's true. Yeah, it's, like, super good in 4-player because, you know, there's more tests that are going out, and then you're going to find ones that are, like, particularly devastating if someone fails, so you just... Yeah. Plus, it makes you feel like $1,000,000 when you play Mateo, you know, because you could say Mateo has got you, bro, and you just summon an Elder Sign up from nowhere. And Mateo also, like, it's the more Elder Signs he can pull out of the DAG, like doing tricks with his tome, for example, like, the better he gets.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's a specific Mateo thing. I think this card's just, like, strong in general.
It feels like a good, solid capstone card for a Mystic.
Yeah,
like, I agree. Yeah, it's not the flashiest thing, but I mean it is kind of flashy, I guess. But
yeah, what I also like about it is if you have cards like this. All right, so the main thing that upgrading a lot of your assets does is like boost the boost. You know, like granted, going to like level 5 shriveling, that's a lot of XP. You go from 2 damage to 3 damage, but, you know, and then what's it? Going from level 2 to level 4 Rite of Seeking, you go from like. You go from 2 clues to 3 clues. Yeah, then that is really great. Yeah, but there are also a lot of other spells that like you don't really, the effect doesn't really get any, a lot bigger. You just boost the bonus. You know, like shriveling level 0 to shriveling level 2, or shriveling level 3. That is, it's like you just boost the bonus. You know, what also boosts your bonus? This card. You know, yeah, because it's like I'll just attack with a regular shriveling, and I know it's gonna hit. You know, because you blap seal the other sign it. Yeah, so it's like a kind of an alternate take on Mystic, I think, where instead of like upgrading your spells to like, you know, and upgrading your boost to get maximum bonus, you just take a couple of these and you just pick the really important ones and you know, just win the test. Yeah.
You know what's funny? I played a game of Union and Disillusion with Preston, and I forget who the Mystic was. You can already see where the story is going. You get to that 20 difficulty circle test and Preston walks in. You place the Elder Sign on him, and he goes, "Yeah, I'll spend 2 resources for that." And he passes a test -16 that he has absolutely zero business.
No business.
Passing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, that reminds me of the time I played on stream. I played that same scenario, and I loaded it up, and I had Tommy Muldoon, and I was like, "All right, here we go. I'm gonna play. What's the stroke of luck? I'm gonna play stroke of luck. I'm gonna walk up to the difficulty 20 test, and I'm gonna stroke of luck it. And I'm like, this is gonna be great. I'm gonna pass on anything but that token." classic Arkham. Yeah.
So how would we rate this one?
Is it appropriate to rate it anything but an Elder Sign?
No, I don't. I think it's an Elder Sign.
Yeah, come on, man.
The Elder Sign card gets an Elder Sign.
An Elder Sign, obviously.
It is an Elder Sign. It literally says, Seal of the Elder Sign.
And, like, come on, man. That's, like, the coolest Mystic thing to be doing. Like, in the lore of the universe is, like...
Yeah, it's like making
giant
Elder,
Elder Sign.
You draw all this. Yeah, there you go. It's an Elder
in
Sign.
In the face of a cliff with lava. Like, come on, man. Like, how much cooler
can you
get?
Yeah, it's pretty cool, I gotta admit. The face. Like, where do you think that cliff even is? Like, that's not in Arkham, right? That's gotta be, like...
That's somewhere in Carcosa.
Really.
Yeah.
Or in Carcosa, yeah. I was gonna say. It's either, like, the side of Chateau Saint-Michel, or it's somewhere in Relay where that's happening. Yeah, like this is gonna be, if we ever get the Cthulhu campaign, like this is the moment that describes the end of the Cthulhu campaign, where someone draws the Elder Sign and makes Relay like sink back into the ocean.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's gonna be this. Yeah, how awesome is that? It's literally an Elder Sign. Of course it gets an Elder Sign. But what are you gonna rate it? Are you gonna ruin the party by rating it something other than an Elder Sign?
I rated it an Elder Sign. It says it on the card.
There you go. Okay, come on, man. All right, we got there. Okay.
That's going to do it for our look at the Mystic cards in the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion. Let us know in the comments down below what you think. Any final thoughts on the Mystic cards in this set?
You know, the more we look at this box, the more I'm like, damn, this was a really solid box. Like, just in general.
It was. I gotta be honest. Like, I like Carcosa. I feel like it's such a high point of the game for me. You know, like, the cards in the box, the investigators... You know, there are some bad ones, of course, like Grounded, you know, like Book of Shadows is in this box. That's sad, you know, but it feels like a lot of these cards feel like appropriate. They like open up new things and like, they open up new things and they're like, a lot of them are like appropriately costed and appropriately powered, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, there's some wild ones and there's some wild ones there too. Like the game wasn't mature enough for every card to be like tightly designed, right? You know, you got Time Warp in this box. You know, that's so cool. Yeah, it's so whimsical. You know.
Yeah, it felt as though the Mystics started off a little slow in the core set. They got a little bit of the designers pumped the gas a little bit in Dunwich Legacy, and then I feel like here it was just like. Here's Ward of Protection 2. Here's Uncage the Soul. Here's Storm of Spirits. Here's, you know, just card after card after card that, you know, are still important to this day. And here's Renfield. I mean, just cards that remain strong to this very day. So if you have not picked up the Path to Carcosa Investigator expansion and you enjoy playing Mystics, what is wrong with you? Go out, get it. Great Mystic cards in it. We will be back with our look at the Survivor cards, so stay tuned for that. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.